We are going to look together at Zechariah's song. Now, something that's important to note is this wasn't some sort of musical, right? When we say it's Zechariah's song, it's just the words that Zechariah or Mary or the angels said had a poetic note to them. And that's the essence of the song. So don't think Andrew Lloyd Webber is when we start talking about the songs of salvation. But the song of Zechariah is a song that came from, in many ways, an unlikely place. It came from a man named Zechariah who was old. He was elderly. He was a priest. He was married to Elizabeth, who was from the line of Aaron. So this is a family for whom serving in the temple was a part of their identity and a part of their life. And Zechariah, one day, while serving in the temple, it was his duty on that particular day to go behind the curtain and offer sacrifices and prayers on behalf of the people. And as he is back behind the curtain, doing his duty as a priest, an angel of the Lord comes to Zechariah. And he says, Zechariah, you and Elizabeth are going to have a son. Well, Zechariah finds that kind of amusing because Elizabeth is far past the age of bearing children and he is quite elderly. And he has an exchange with this angel of the Lord. And the interesting thing is, if we look at the exchange Mary had with the angel, when the angel said, Mary, you're going to bear a son. And she said, well, I'm a virgin. I don't know how that's going to work. Zechariah is saying, I'm old. Elizabeth's old. I have no idea how this is going to work. Well, while Mary, in many ways, accepted the message of the angel and lived into her pregnancy, the angel apparently didn't like Zechariah's attitude because he said, you're not going to speak until that child is dedicated. And Zechariah lost his voice. And it wasn't until they, faithful to the law of God, brought their newborn son to be dedicated in the temple, he was unable to speak. But he had communicated to Elizabeth during that period that the child's name, as the angel had told him, was to be John. And their son, John, was going to be in the spirit of Elijah. He was going to be foretelling the coming of God and God's salvation. This was a little odd because John was not within that family name. So when they went to dedicate their child, Zechariah still unable to speak, the question was posed, what's the name of this child? Much like when we baptize, we will ask Amy or I will ask the parents, what's the given name of this child? In the temple, when the priest asked, what's the given name of this child? Elizabeth said, it's to be John. And they went, no, that doesn't make any sense. You don't have Johns in your family. And we have ways we name babies. And Zechariah asked for some sort of writing tablets and communicated John. And thus they named the baby John. And at that point, Zechariah could speak. He could speak. Now, apparently, in that period where he was unable to communicate, he did what we're asking all of us to do for a season, and that is listen expectantly. And by the words that flowed from his mouth, he listened pretty well. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, and look for how Zechariah's words point us to God's blessing of salvation in our lives even today. Would you join me as we pray before we look at Scripture together? Father, we are thankful this morning for the gift of your word. May your Holy Spirit speak through your word and into our hearts. May it take deep root there. And may it be that in your words this morning, through Zechariah, we might come to a deeper understanding of your great blessing and redemption for us through the salvation of Jesus Christ. My prayer is that in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room would be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke records Zechariah's song this way. First chapter, beginning at verse 67. We've already read it together as Beth led us. Listen now for the word of the Lord. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. His father, John's father, Zechariah. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And now Zechariah speaks to his infant son John. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Zechariah, as those words flow from him, I believe helps us prepare once again to have our breath taken away when we peer into the manger and realize that God is with us. God is with us. Zechariah does a very, very Jewish thing. He remembers. He remembers. The Jewish people, even today, know the importance of remembering the story. They remember the story of their ancestors, the story of their struggles, and the story of God's faithfulness to them. And Zechariah leads those people gathered in the temple in remembering God's story. He said, God is coming to redeem us. He's going to raise up a horn of salvation. That was a bull's horn that would be blown to remind the people of God's salvation for them. The thing they had hoped for, the thing they had longed for in the midst of persecution, in the midst of exile. And he said, He will vanquish our enemies. As we relive the Christmas story every year, it's striking that The sentimentality is very real for us, right? I'm sure as you've decorated your homes, for many people, it's almost a sacred moment to decorate that tree because people have ornaments that remind you of the story of your family, don't they? Sarah Gray and I have a tree. Well, really, Sarah Gray has it. I put it up and put the lights on, and she decorates it. My expertise stops at the putting the lights on. But we have a lot of Beagle ornaments. We have a lot of Disney ornaments. And we've got a lot of ornaments from places we have been. Memories, a story. That's what Zechariah does. He ties this moment of having expectantly listened when he couldn't talk. That's usually what prevents us from listening well, right? Because we talk. But his first words were, "Blessed be the Lord." That's why this is called the Benedictus from the creative naming department of the ancients, because they just, what, first word, blessed, Benedictus, that's it. But he blesses the Lord. And he says, here's why we should bless the Lord. This is why we should praise God, because look at our story. Look at the ornaments on our family tree as a people. It marks God's goodness and God's grace and his promises, and they're about to come to fruition, just as he told us through the prophets. This Advent season, are you taking a moment to remember the story of God's goodness to you? Are you taking a moment to remember what your life was like without Jesus in it? I think that's a vitally important skill that as Christians, particularly in our day and time, we need to cultivate. Because while we live in and you've heard me say this before, a look-at-me culture. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. We also live in a culture where that look-at-me often is tailored with, woe is me, woe is me. But as Zechariah tells his story, there could have been a lot of woe in that, couldn't there? His ancestors had been enslaved in Egypt. They'd wandered in a desert for 40 years. They had watched judges fail, and the most haunting words, I believe, in Scripture is the book of Judges ends, where it says, and everyone did. Israel had no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Haunting words, aren't they? Haunting words then, and unfortunately, our motto for life today in our world. As Judges ended and the period of the kings were to come, and more failure and more suffering, the prophets would still rise up and point to God's goodness and grace. And Zechariah said, remember what they said. They said God would redeem us. And it was his son. The son he never thought he would have. The son who in many ways was a miracle. Who would continue that story and be the one who proclaimed, this is the one. This is the one. Zechariah, in remembering, points us to the blessing He remembers, and then he highlights the blessing. And the blessing is that we have the opportunity to be redeemed in Jesus, to answer his call, to confess our sins, our ultimate enemy, and receive forgiveness. Those who heard the good news that the shepherds shared, that prompted the Magi from the east to start a long journey, longed for redemption. They longed for salvation, but so many longed for it in a vastly different way than God would bring it. Even the disciples, as we look at the Gospels, some wanted a political redemption. Some wanted a military salvation. Some wanted a social salvation and redemption. And Jesus can bring all of those, but God, in his goodness and his mercy, says, I bring you the salvation in Jesus, which is salvation from your sin. Because God could solve all those other problems, and if we still have our sin, we're left unredeemed. But it's in that redemption, that blessing that God gives us in Jesus, that we are able to not simply sit back and go, boy, I can't wait to get to heaven. It's got to be better than this, right? And isn't that kind of the way we act sometimes? But rather to say, because of Jesus' redemption, because of Jesus' salvation, today I can begin to live into that salvation and to begin to work through God and with God to bring about the redemption of all of creation and all the ills. Beth eloquently prayed for the violence and the war to end in our world. And we join her in that prayer. But for that to really happen, God's redemption needs to take hold in each of us first. If peace is to come in our world, in the far-flung corners, in our homes, in our city, in our church, wherever contention, confrontation exists, it's got to start first with us. We're called through the blessing of Christ's redemption to be the peacemakers in our world, maybe even within ourselves, to bring peace within our own lives. And then Zechariah talks. After he's helped everyone remember, and after he's named the blessing, he talks of the future blessing. That it's in Jesus that we find our King. It's in Jesus that we find hope in the midst of a broken world, in the midst of debilitating illness, in the midst of world conflict, in the midst of violence, of broken relationships, of grief, that our King brings hope. And that's what we're called to do with the blessing of redemption that we find in Christ Jesus. We're called to bring those who are hopeless into the light of God's hope. Some translations talk about the bright morning star. I love that phrase. Because in the midst of darkness, the bright morning star, that sun rises. And I haven't looked at the weather, but whenever we're supposed to stop having rain and clouds, I could probably make as good a prediction as a lot of the weather forecasters. But you know how bright it's going to look? Do you know how clear the sky is going to look? Because when the storm comes through, it clears the air. The pollutants are washed out. And it's a vibrant new day. It might be people who will gather around your Christmas tree this Christmas who need to know that Jesus is capable of bringing a bright new day. And it just might be that you are the vessel that God will use to remind them of that hope and to introduce them to the song of salvation that comes when we know Jesus. This Advent, remember God's story in your life. And take this season to prepare your heart for the salvation that God freely offers you and the hope that he calls you to share with the hopeless and rejoice in the blessing of a king who brings salvation and vanquishes our enemy by forgiving us of our sin. That, my friends, is the good news that the angels really did sing about. Father, we are grateful. We're grateful for your salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope that we know because of what he has done for us. Father, may we remember in this season of Advent your story, and may our song be like Zacharias, praising you for the journey of life with you, the hope of salvation that comes through Jesus, and your goodness and grace that follows us each day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.